free, home of the brave, my big fat black ass. Welcome to the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy live from Dallas, Texas. That's right, the big D. One more night here. Broadcasting live and even video casting live tonight. So if you want to see how big and fat my ass is, you can tune in, jump on over to bradblog.com where the live video stream is rolling. And for those of you who are smart enough out there to have an iPhone, I understand Ucast, what's it called? Ustream, right? Ustream has an app. There's an app for that. You can actually stream me, if you dare, live on your iPhone. Well, coast to coast and around the globe, yes it is. One more time, the big Mike Malloy program, as I say, down here in Dallas tonight for our last night mourning and celebrating the disappearance of AM 1360, progressive radio in Dallas as it moves from terrestrial radio to the internets. Yeah, I know, and maybe television, but if an angel shows up, maybe we'll be able to return progressive radio to the airwaves, to the public airwaves here in Dallas, Texas. Hey, Sean, have we had an angel show up here over the last couple of days? I've been calling for one.
Well, I can't say that anyone has showed up with a checkbook.
But no checks.
Many people have actually wished us good luck.
They have?
Yes.
Okay. We don't need wishes of good luck. What we need is an angel here to save progressive radio in Dallas. So if you're out there listening, if you give a damn about progressive radio, if you care about Dallas, a town that needs more. Hey, Tony, you got the Dallas theme nearby? Just start cranking it if you got it. If you care about Dallas, a town, a city, a county that voted, you wouldn't know it if you watched Fox News, but a city that voted for Barack Obama in the last election. Yes, Dallas County went for Barack Obama, and yet everyone's ignoring this place. Everyone thinks progressive radio doesn't matter. We don't need it to. There you go. Is that? There we go. Here it comes. Yeah. There you go. There you go. Uh-huh. Yeah. See? We're just going to keep playing 80s music until someone saves this station. You got that? All right. That's us broadcasting live from Dallas. Broadcasting live from Dallas, hoping to save the station. If not, we're bidding it a fond, not adieu, but a move over to the internet. Well, you'll be able to find them beginning on the first of this coming new year at rationalbroadcasting.com. Right now, they're on rationalradio.org, where you can stream us. Or, as I say, go to bradblog.com, the top item there. Click into the click here for more. Oh, $8.99. Set this item to stay on top, will you? Thank you. Go see Agent 99 in the chat room. Say hello to us. And give us a call tonight, because what I've done is I'm going to try to catch up with all the things I didn't get to do this week because we had so many guests. We are going to have some friends stopping by. One of them may be in the chat room right now if you go over to bradblog.com. Other than that, it's going to be me ranting and you calling at 800-277-1637. That's 800-277-1637, extension 703. The lovely Dez is screening the calls tonight. Please keep her busy, because I would love to hear from you what we're going to talk about after I rant a little bit about the cowards in this country. And I'm talking about the cowards, the Republican cowards, the Democratic cowards. Yeah, that's why I said land of the free, home of the brave, my ass, because what the hell is going on? Anyway, I'll get to that in a second. After I finish ranting about that a little bit, we're going to try to take your calls. Want to hear your thoughts on the most underreported, most misreported story of the year and or of the decade. Yeah, I know it's not really the end of the decade, but this decade has been so crappy that we're going to consider it the end of the decade, even though the end of the decade doesn't come until the end of next year. But nobody cares, because Americans can't do math anyway. So we're saying this is the end of the decade. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. And I want to know what your opinions are about the most underreported, misreported stories of the decade. I'll have some opinions on that myself, and I will give them to you a little bit later. But I'd love to give them to you right now. But the fact of the matter is, this story, this idiot, stupid story, this Nigerian story, this Detroit airplane bomber story that I had hoped would go away by now, hasn't gone away. And it hasn't gone away in no small part because the Wingnuts have decided to jump into the game and they have decided to politicize it to no end. Boy, who could have seen that coming? Politicize it to no end. Use it to attack Barack Obama. Use it to attack Democrats. Use it to try to win House and Senate seats in 2010. Imagine if Democrats had attacked George W. Bush in December of 2001 because he didn't act quickly enough, decisively enough, whatever BS they want to throw at Barack Obama. Imagine if they had attacked George Bush back in December of 2001 after Richard Reid, the shoe bomber, tried his little scheme when George Bush didn't come out and say a word about it for 6 days. Now, of course, Karl Rove, Dick Cheney, Peter King, every damn Republican there is, has been out. They were out 5 minutes after this event happened, criticizing Barack Obama for not taking action on it enough. Of course, he came out 3 days afterwards and had something to say about it. Whether you liked what he had to say or not is beside the point. For now, I'm talking about the fact that he's doing his job as best he can. Don't like the way he's doing it? Okay, fine. But don't be a political opportunist. That's what we've got. As I said, who could have seen it coming? But imagine what we would have heard had Democrats come out against George W. Bush. Imagine what they would have done if some, three girls who had a band out in London said, we're embarrassed that George Bush is from Texas, which he ain't. But imagine if they had said that. What would happen? Well, of course they would. The Dixie Chicks. We got to throw them off the air. They're un-American. They hate America. We've got to get rid of them. And yet, Dick Cheney comes out today, makes a statement attacking Obama, an outrageous statement, which, yes, I hate to do it, but I will get to after the break. Hate to give these guys attention, but obviously I have to, because the people in this country are not smart enough to say, you know what, some jackass got on a plane with firecrackers in his crotch, and we're not going to let it bring down the country. But apparently we are going to let it bring down the country. I've talked over the last couple of days about the, where's my, there it is, okay. I've talked about over the last couple of days the fact that we have no war on lightning. That, despite the fact that in any given year, your odds of getting hit by lightning are 1 out of 500,000. And yet, your odds of being on an airplane attack that is a victim of terrorism over the last 10 years, including 9/11, is 1 out of 10,408,947. And yet, we've got to go crazy on this nonsense. Wars? How many wars do we have? Oh, we've got at least five fronts right now. Two hot wars. Three other hot wars that we don't say are wars, but we got them going. And why? Because we've got jackasses on planes with firecrackers in their pants? No, because we got Karl Rove, Dick Cheney, and a bunch of cowardly Republicans who are scared to death of every damn Arab they think who's out to get them. They ain't out to get you, pal. They don't give a damn about you, Dick Cheney. Just like all the rest of us, we don't give a damn about you. But you are annoying, so we do have to speak to you, and so we will. Now, aside from the war on lightning that we don't have, even though you have a much greater chance of getting hit by lightning than getting hit by a terrorist, Blue Texan over at Fire Dog Lake yesterday put up a very helpful chart that we ran at Bradblog. Let's see. Selected causes of death in the United States 2009. 45,000 died from lack of health insurance last year alone. A little bit less than that, about 42,000 died from traffic-related incidents. 20,000 died from unintentional falls. About 12,000 died from firearm homicides. 10,000 died from the swine flu. Can't tell, but it's about, how many do we have here on the, 600? Yes, 600 died from salmonella poisoning. 600 died from salmonella poisoning. And then last year, as a result of terrorism in 2009, 16 people died. 600 died from salmonella poisoning. 16 died from terrorism. And I am furious at Barack Obama that there is no war on salmonella. This is outrageous. Why does Barack Obama hate America? Now, you got the Republicans, Karl Rove, Dick Cheney. We expect this crap from them. We expect them to behave the way they're doing, to politicize everything they can, to be cowards, to hide under a table, whatever they got to do. But how about the Democrats? Speaking of cowards, where the hell are the Democrats standing up and telling these people to shut the hell up? They're not going to do it because they're cowards. They're busy not closing Guantanamo. The Republicans are cowards. The Democrats are cowards. What the hell are we going to do? Don't know. But we're going to talk about it. And I hope you're going to join me. This is going to be a big show tonight. Like I say, no guests, other than a couple of friends who are going to be dropping by soon. Des is going to drop by. Stop by the chat room. Say hello over there, too. And remember, our number is 800-277-1637. 800-277-1637, extension 703. You're listening to the Mike Malloy Program. Brad Friedman, in for Mike, back in a second. So late! Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, your friendly citizen journalist, blogger, muckraker, troublemaker, and now broadcaster drafted into duty here between the holidays, giving Mike Malloy a rest, and we are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas. Also video casting, if you want to stop by the chat room at bradblog.com, you can see what I look like. I apologize in advance. Sean, any calls yet? Any angels yet is what I want to know. Anybody saving this radio station yet? AM 1360, rationalradio.org?
No.
Not yet. All right.
And the reason why I say that is because No one has opened a checkbook over here.
Okay. Well, we'd like to save this radio station, save Progressive Radio in Dallas. All right. We're speaking about cowards in Dallas, cowards like Dick Cheney. And he had this to say. Do I have time before the break? Yeah, let me try to read this loser's statement. Dick Cheney. Oh, man. Here's what he had to say about this this terrorist nonsense that we ought to be ignoring. Let the police, let the military, let the president, whoever, let them deal with it. Stop making these people famous. Stop making people famous for putting gunpowder in their pants. Speaking of gunpowder in their pants, here's what Dick Cheney had to say. His written statement today that was issued to Politico, of course, and run pretty much as is. He says, as I've watched the events of the last few days, it is clear once again that President Obama is trying to pretend we are not at war. Really? He seems to think if he has a low-key response to an attempt to blow up an airliner and kill hundreds of people, we won't be at war. Really, Dick? Really? We're in five different damn wars, you jackass, that you started. Dick goes on to say he seems to think if he gives terrorists the rights of Americans, lets them lawyer up and reads them Miranda rights, we won't be at war. Gosh, who else has done that in the past? Who has let these guys lawyer up and have Miranda rights in the past? Oh, yeah, it was Dick Cheney. Remember Richard Reed, the shoe bomber? Remember Jose Padilla? Remember Zacharias Moussaoui? Remember Jose Padilla? You didn't want to let him lawyer up. You named him an enemy combatant. Guess what the Supreme Court told you, Dick? Yeah, let him lawyer up. Give him his rights. Give him his trial, which you did. What else does Dick Cheney have to ruin our year with? Our otherwise lousy year. He just made it lousier. He seems to think if we bring the mastermind of September 11 to New York, give him a lawyer and trial and civilian court, we won't be at war. Is that what he thinks, Dick? He seems to think if he closes Guantanamo and releases hardcore Al-Qaeda-trained terrorists still there, we won't be at war. Maybe I had missed this. I know I've been on the road for a few weeks, but if anybody can help me out, 800-277-1637, extension 703, and let me know exactly when it was that Barack Obama wanted to, quote, release the hardcore Al-Qaeda-trained terrorists in Guantanamo Bay. Did he actually say that? Did he actually? Of course not. And yet Dick Cheney goes on the air. He says this to Politico. He says this on Fox News. Everyone else repeats it. All right, what else did he say? Do I have time? No, I don't. I'll say it when I come back after this break. Because, man, this guy ticks me off. And then the Democrats. They're next. Don't worry. We're getting them all tonight. 800-277-1637. Counting down the end of this crappy year, the end of this crappy decade, right here on the Mike Malloy Program. Brad Friedman in for Mike. 800-277-1637. That's our number. Extension 703. Give us a call. Much more right after this. Deep in the heart of Texas, we are here in the Big D for the final live night of the year for the Mike Malloy Program, and darn near the final live night for Rational Radio, AM 1360, here in Dallas, unless somebody shows up to save this station, to keep these folks on the air. Go to rationalradio.org, drop them a line, and tell them... you'd like to keep Progressive Radio on the air somehow. If you got a big checkbook, that's good to know, because that's what they need. Nobody has saved the station yet, right?
No, sir. I haven't answered the door where someone said, oh, I'm here to save you.
Oh, okay. Well, there, our door is open. As a matter of fact, you better go check and make sure that door is locked.
Yes, yeah, sir.
Now that I think about it. All right. Welcome back to the Malloy Program. We're talking about these cowards. These scaredy pants, these crazy, Dick Cheney. So reading, continuing on his statement, because we all need to hear what Dick Cheney thinks about the firecracker Detroit bomber. He was talking about Barack Obama here. Dick Cheney says he seems to think if he closes Guantanamo and releases the hardcore Al-Qaeda-trained terrorists still there, we won't be at war. Now... you know, I flipped out in the last segment. Nobody is calling for the release of hardcore Al-Qaeda-trained terrorists still there. We're talking about the release, of course, of the innocent people. The ones who you tortured, Dick Cheney, you war criminal. You war criminal who Barack Obama is apparently too cowardly himself to hold accountable. Your ass ought to be in Gitmo, you... All right. Cheney goes on to say, he seems to think if he gets rid of the words war on terror, we won't be at war. But we are at war. When President Obama pretends we aren't, it makes us less safe. And if anybody knows how to make us less safe, that would be Dick Cheney. Why doesn't he want to admit we're at war? It doesn't fit with the view of the world that he brought with him into the Oval Office. Blah, 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 blah. My God, this guy cannot stop lying. Let's see here. Back in the inaugural, Obama said that his inaugural address. You were there, Dick, weren't you? Remember, you were in the wheelchair, dressed like Mr. Potter from It's a Wonderful Life. He said, Obama said, our nation is at war against a far-reaching network of violence and hatred. Not good enough for you, Dick? John Brennan, assistant president to the president for Homeland Security and Counterterrorism, said in an August speech, quote, As the president has made clear, we are at war with Al-Qaeda, which attacked us on September 11 and killed 3,000 people. We are at war with its violent extremist allies who seek to carry on Al-Qaeda's murderous agenda. These are the terrorists we will destroy. These are the extremists we will defeat. That's the Barack Obama administration. Senior Democrat goes on to tell Politico, a senior unnamed Democrat, why they're unnamed, I don't know. I guess Politico didn't have time to name them. Tells Politico that there are numerous other public statements that explicitly state that we are at war. The difference from the last administration is that we are at war with what is tangible. Well, there's an idea. Al-Qaeda, violent extremists and terrorists, rather than at war with a tactic, terrorism. Okay? Good enough for you, Dick? Now, let's talk about this war on terrorism. This war, it's on Al-Qaeda, violent extremists, and terrorists. It's going on in five different countries now. It's increasing. It's going into Yemen, Somalia, Iraq, Afghanistan. 8 Americans were killed today in your war on terrorism, Dick Cheney and Barack Obama. Are y'all proud of yourselves? So, what they've done is they've decided that this is going to be a great way to win seats in 2010 in the House and Senate. Let's all get together and criticize Barack Obama. Here's what, who was it? Peter King. Peter King said that on Tuesday, quote, on the Today Show, he said, this is a Republican from... on the House, ranking Republican on the House Homeland Security Committee. Jesus. He said, I think that the administration has made a mistake by treating this terrorist as a common criminal, by putting him into the criminal justice system. I wish they had put him into a military tribunal so we could torture him, beat the crap out of him, make him bleed. No, he didn't say that. He said, put him into a military tribunal so we could get as much intelligence and information out of him as we could. Of course, the kid is talking. The Nigerian kid is telling him everything they want to know. But that's not good enough. We have to torture him. And we shouldn't treat him like a common criminal. Pretty much the same thing Dick Cheney said. Well, Karl Rove, of course, just by coincidence, went on Fox News yesterday, all over Fox News. Here's clips from two different shows where he said damn near the same thing. Of course, it's just a coincidence, by the way. It's not a political tactic that they've organized this assault. Tony, you got that Karl Rove clip?
This shows the big difference in this administration's approach to it. This guy was treated not as an enemy combatant and turned over to the FBI and the CIA for interrogation. He was charged criminally, and which means he immediately lawyered up, and the amount of information we're going to get from him is going to be this much compared to what we could get if he was just simply swept by the FBI and the CIA, not even using enhanced interrogation techniques, just
not
using what the police would be able to use on you if you weren't lawyered up. I mean, this is a very troubling way in which the administration has handled this. Here's a guy who's flown in, who tried to immolate himself in an airplane full of people on a final approach to Detroit Airport. And what we do is we do not treat him as an enemy combatant. We treat him as a guy who tried to knock over the 7-Eleven or got caught shoplifting.
That's war criminal Karl Rove, who has been treated more lightly than a guy who tried to knock over the 7-Eleven. So, you see the common theme here. They're all critical of Barack Obama because he's treating him like a, whatever the hell he said, treating him like he's trying to knock over a 7-Eleven. He was charged criminally. He was treated as a common criminal, says Peter King, Karl Rove, Dick Cheney. Of course, let's see, what did they do? Where is it here? Yeah, okay. David Newhart reminds us over at Crooks and Liars that faced with nearly identical circumstances with would-be shoe bomber Richard Reed, who was attempting to use the exact same kind of explosives on an American flight, the Bush administration in 2001 did exactly the same thing. They filed criminal charges and eventually tried Reed in federal court. What's worth noting is that Reed, too, was potentially an intelligence bonanza, since he had numerous operational ties with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, or, as his good friends at Fox like to call him, KSM. Then there was Zacharias Moussaoui, a French citizen who was eventually convicted of plotting with Al-Qaeda to participate in the 9/11 attacks. He, too, was treated as a federal criminal by who? You guessed it, the Bush administration. Finally, it should be noted, says David Nort, that declaring suspects, quote, enemy combatants, especially when they are captured away from the field of battle, is actually a legal minefield fraught with far greater uncertainty than the use of federal criminal statutes. The classic example of this was the case of Jose Padilla, who was declared by an enemy declared an enemy combatant by the Bush administration, and whose case wound up taking years to be settled by the Supreme Court, which eventually insisted that he be tried, how? Like a common criminal in federal court! Under your administration, Dick Cheney, Karl Rove, Peter King! But this is how you have to behave, isn't it? It's not enough you took down this country, this planet, over the past decade. You gotta keep it going for another, don't you? How many more you got in mind? Another 100 years? See, I'm getting this out of my system now, because later we're going to have a lot of fun discussing the craziest stories of 2009. 1-800-277-1637, extension 703. We're going to get to your calls when I come back here. 800-277-1637. Glenn Greenwald has a thought or two that is worth hearing on this. Now we're going to go after the... Now we're going after Obama. Don't worry, 99. Going over it in the chat room. Agent 99 is over there, keeping an eye on the place. I'm sure she's furious by now that I haven't gone after Obama enough. Don't worry, that's coming too. All of that straight ahead. It's a big, big night. The final live Mike Malloy broadcast of the year. Brad sitting in his stead. And delighted about it. I know it doesn't sound like it because I'm yelling and screaming like a madman. Anyway, coming back with much more here on the Mike Malloy program. Brad in for Mike. Stay with us. I don't need to fight to prove I'm right. I don't need to be forgiven. Yeah, 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 Welcome back to the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike. At the end of the year, counting down the minutes, counting down the days, the seconds to the end of this crappy year and this even lousier decade. Forgot to say hello to my good friends over there at DU. Hey, Truth Seekers. How are you? Uh-oh, someone says, Brad, I can't get on your site for 2 days now. Really? Why? Go on over there, bradblog.com. All right, I'll look into that in a minute. You can also check out the webcast, the video webcast, if you want to see what I look like with the veins popping out of my head over at bradblog.com. You can jump into the chat room over there as well. In response to this nonsense of Dick Cheney's saying that Barack Obama doesn't want to say admit we're at war, he doesn't want to do this, he doesn't want to do that, all of these lies that Dick Cheney issued. God, is he a liar? Did I mention that? Greenwald has a great piece today over at Salon. Starts off with a few quotes here. Let's see. Quote, in their allegedness, the administration has an allergy to the concept of war, and thus to the tools of war, including strategy and war aims. That was Supreme Tough Guy Warrior Mark Stein of the National Review yesterday. Meanwhile, back here in reality land, the New York Times reported in early December that, quote, the White House has authorized an expansion of the CIA's drone program in Pakistan's lawless tribal areas, officials said this week, to parallel the president's decision announced on Tuesday to send 30,000 more troops to Afghanistan. Other than that, he's got an allergy to war. Let's see, New York Times yesterday. In the midst of two unfinished major wars, the United States has quietly opened a third, largely covert front against Al-Qaeda in Yemen. Yemen! We've got another war! Keep them coming! Now, Glenn Greenwald goes on to talk about the cause and effect in the, quote, terror war. And he makes some great points, which I don't have enough time to get to because I want to get to some of your calls. Other than to say that the problem here seems to be the involvement of the U.S. creating sympathy for Al-Qaeda by being in all of these countries, encouraging them to do stuff like, oh, put a guy on a plane and try to blow it up. Other than that, this concept is genius of starting as many wars as possible. That'll show them terrorists. That'll put an end to it. At the end of the article, let me just skip to the end, because I think it was this last graph that was a good one. There very well may be some small numbers of individuals who are so blinded by religious extremism that they will be devoted to random violence against civilians, no matter what we do. But we are constantly maximizing the pool of recruits and sympathy among the population on which they depend. In other words, what we do constantly bolsters their efforts. And when we do, we always seem to move more in the direction of helping them even further. Ultimately, we should ask ourselves, if we drop more bombs on more Muslim countries, will there be fewer or more Muslims who want to blow up our airplanes and are willing to end their lives to do so? Of course, that question, he says, answers itself. So let's keep bombing these countries. By all means, we're in at least five. I believe it was also Greenwald who said it's easier to count the number of Muslim countries that we are not attacking than the ones that we are at this point. And how's that war on terror going for you? Let's take some calls. Where am I here? Okay, Bill in Wisconsin. Welcome to the Mike Malloy program, Bill.
Good evening.
Good evening. You're a trucker. Are you driving right now?
Yes, I am.
All right, drive safely. How can I help you, sir?
Well, I just got my satellite radio turned on, and I was flipping the channels, ran across the show. I was listening to you talk about what I like to call Darth Cheney.
Yeah.
And I remember something you said a couple of years ago, I think, really kind of bears on the whole Cheney issue.
What's that?
I forget what had happened. Something involving over in Iraq. And he was complaining that Americans were not properly fearful.
We're not scared enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds like Dick Cheney. Yeah. Or Darth Cheney. Yeah, that's obviously that's the idea. We've known that's the idea. We've known that's the idea for the last 8 years, is that the more they can scare Americans into doing anything, then they can get away with anything. Here's Ron Paul. Thanks for the call, Bill. I appreciate it. And have a happy new year, all right?
You too.
Thank you. Tony, Ron Paul had this to say. And this, by the way, I'm going to add, when I finish playing it, I got a challenge for you Ron Paul folks out there. Let's see. Play clip number one.
The bigger the problem and the more fear that is built up, the more they take away our personal liberties. They turn us all into zombies the American people go along with and say, oh, as long as it makes us safer, I guess it's okay to go along. But it's time the American people woke up and started realizing that there's a bit of propaganda going on, and quite possibly this incident will not only undermine our personal liberties, but will also accelerate our intervention in the violence occurring in the Middle East.
That's Ron Paul. Now, there's a lot of teabaggers out there who all of a sudden have become friends with Ron Paul. Do you agree with Ron Paul that the more that we do, that the more countries that we attack, the more danger we're in, the more civil liberties that we take away, the better we are? Is that what you want to do? Take away our personal liberties? Or do you agree with Ron Paul, the man you all of a sudden, after 8 years of calling him a crazy man, you wanted nothing to do with him, now you're out there on the streets teabagging along with his people. And oh yeah, you Ron Paul people out there who have accepted the teabaggers to your side, who have accepted these pretenders, who have joined forces with them. I may not agree with everything that Ron Paul has to say. I don't agree with a lot that Ron Paul has to say. But I can tell you this. Ron Paul and the people who have supported them, they weren't waiting around, you know, as opportunists until Republicans were out of office to start expressing their outrage. They've been expressing their outrage. They've been concerned about these foreign incursions. They've been concerned about robbing us of our civil liberties. They've been concerned about wiretapping every damn call, every damn email in America for years. Good on ya. But now, you got these phony teabaggers coming out, and you're joining hands with them, Ron Paul people. You ought to be out there protesting against the protesters, saying, where the hell were you? Oh, boy. All right. We got to go to a break. 800-277-1637. Yeah, we can talk about this. We can talk about anything you want, really. But we're going to talk about underreported stories, misreported stories. The most misreported stories of the year, of the decade. I've got a few. I'd love to know what yours are. Bob in Tennessee, hang in there, my friend. We're going to get to you after this break. And check in with some other friends. And otherwise, it's me and you on the Mike Malloy program, live from Dallas here. Stay with us. Happy to have you. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, your friendly citizen investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, drafted into duty, be in the media once again, this time live from Dallas, our last night here in Dallas at AM 1360 Rational Radio. They go off the air after tomorrow. They're moving to the internets. They're currently on at rationalradio.org, but they go to the internet only at rationalbroadcasting.com after tomorrow, unless an angel shows up and saves the day. Any angels showing up yet, Sean, to save Rational Radio? AM 13?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Angel, you're not paying attention to the show?
I'm sorry, I was talking to your call screener. I apologize.
No wonder this station is going off the air. I guess that means no angels have shown up. Okay, well, give us a call, 800-277-1637, extension 703. I've mostly gotten it out of my system, this crap about this terrorist nonsense. You know, my dad, I talked to my dad today. He said he was listening to the show last night, and I was talking about this terrorist nonsense and how we ought to be ignoring it. No, not the police, not the military, not the government. They ought to be paying attention, doing something about it, trying their best to do what they can to keep us safe. I might suggest getting the hell out of all of these wars would keep us a hell of a lot safer than what they're doing now. But no, he said, oh, I disagree with you. They ought to, you know, pay attention. Yes, of course, pay attention to it. But why the hell are we making a guy famous who puts firecrackers in his underwear? You know, I started this week off back in on Monday, saying it reminded me of Columbine. These kids who wanted to be famous for going in and shooting up this high school. They wanted to be famous. They made videos talking about how famous they wanted to be. So what did we do? We played the videos. We put their faces on the cover of Time and Newsweek. Well, we're doing it all over again. Do we not learn nothing? No, we don't learn nothing. You're how many more times likely to be killed by salmonella, by lightning, by lack of health care insurance than you are by a terrorist? And yet this is what we've got to go 24/7 on our media about, our mainstream corporate media about, as opposed to the indie stations here, independent progressive voices in Dallas, which must be shut down, taken off the air. All right. Moving on, 877-277-1637. If you would like to talk about the most underreported, misreported stories of the decade, of the year, take your pick. I'll give you my thoughts on that in a minute. But let's go to some of yours. Bob in Clifton, Tennessee. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Program, sir.
Hello, Brad.
How are you? And thanks for holding for a long time while I was ranting.
A very long time.
Sorry.
let me say first, before I get into my underreported story, I think you're missing a sixth war in Colombia.
Okay.
Underreported story of the year was reported in the Harper's Magazine in December, which came out in November, which must have gone to press earlier.
Yeah.
And it's about the escalation of the war in Iraq. And that's not misspoken. Iraq.
Right.
I know that President Obama has been given some kind of kudos for having reduced troops in Iraq. They report that he is...
Well, he announced that he was going to reduce them. I don't know that... Maybe he's taken out to five or six guys, as far as I know.
Well, according to Harper's Magazine, he has reduced the troops, U.S. troops in Iraq, by 16%.
Okay.
However, since his inauguration, the number of mercenaries has increased by 52%.
The mercenaries, meaning who? The Blackwaters and these guys?
The armed private contractors working for the United States.
Yeah, well, there you go. I think there's the big part of this underreported story is the number of contractors in all of these wars. Thanks for that call, Bob, and Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you.
Same to you.
All right. Yeah, the number of contractors... that go along in these wars. We're talking about having 130,000. I think maybe it's down to 116,000 or something in Iraq now. We've got at least that many in contractors. And by the way, those contractors are getting way more money than our troops are, doing things that the troops ought to be doing. But we're paying these guys. And Blackwater. Blackwater is still there. Blackwater, 800-277-1637. Be the media. Give us a call. 800-277-1637, extension 703. I'm trying to leave it open. The most underreported, misreported stories of the year, of the decade. Yeah, Blackwater is still there. Iraq wanted them out, but as far as I know, they're still there. They're still in Afghanistan. These guys are, they're in court for things like, homicide. Halliburton killed guys with their faulty wiring in the showers. Halliburton slaughtered citizens. They still got their federal contracts. Acorn? We got to go after Acorn. Yeah, that's one of the great misreported stories of the year, decade. I will go into that in a minute, but let me try to stick to some phones. 800, because I never get to. I always bring on guests. We never get enough callers on the air. 800-277-1637, extension 703. Let's go to AC on line two. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Program, AC.
Hey, first I want to say, Brad, I hope you've got me totally convinced that you're really on the uppity up and you're an honest person and you're not for sale. And I don't know what's going to happen for your future or your life, but I hope that you stay that honest and upstanding and keep your principles, because I don't know what happens when we leave here, but if there's a better place or something, I'm sure it's reserved for people like you, because you do so much good for humanity to be an honest guy like you are and have an open mind and put it all out there, even criticizing Obama. Democrats, liberals, Republicans, whatever. I just think there's the problem in the world is not that there's people like you, Brad. The problem is there's not enough. And I know you're frustrated about the lack of interest of the Democrats with the voting machines. And I heard you, I think it was last night, comment about that.
Yeah.
And I'm with you, soul brother. Listen to me. But we can't, you know, we may lose. And it's likely that we very conceivably could. They're very powerful people, very powerful interests that we're messing with.
Yeah.
But still, you know, what we do in this life and what you know, that our Creator gave us, you know, one of the most important contributions, I think, is that we have and maintain principles and sincerity and honesty and really fight the fight for the underdogs. And I just want to thank you, first off, for what you've done. And nobody could convince me that you sold out yet, and I hope you never do, okay?
Well, I do appreciate that, although I got to pay the rent. So I'm ready to sell out. If anybody wants to, they can really, I could use, please.
Well, maybe
sponsors,
we can get your bids up tonight.
All right, yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
All right, your second point, PC, real quick, because I got to get to some other calls.
Okay, did you ever
and
watch
thank
True
you, by the
TV?
Way, for that. Very nice.
You're welcome, and Happy New Year.
Thank
and
you.
Did you ever watch True TV?
True TV.
Yeah, with Jesse Ventura.
True TV, which used to be Court TV, and now Jesse Ventura has the conspiracy show.
Yes, and he's on right now, and this is amazing, because I heard you, I think, last night talking about, or the night before, about these very wealthy people that are powerful, that's neither Democrat or Republican, they're super elites.
Yeah.
And this is what we're dealing with. Well, he's on tonight, and I totally believe in this, that this is a group, and they're coming more out in the open, because with all the confusion that's going on and that's building up in our country and around the world, this group is being more, I think, arrogant, and it's the Bilderberg group, and it's for real. Tonight he showed photos.
Right.
They had Hillary and Obama met in Virginia with the group in 2008.
I'm going to point people over to True TV to go check that out. Of course,
you got to see the photos, though. Who's who?
They'll be over there at True TV on the Bilderbergs. I do appreciate that. I'm only moving on because I got to move on. Plus, you know, the Bilderbergs pay me to say that.
Well, let me say one thing about Cheney.
Yeah.
Cheney, at best, checks the oil underneath the hood for the Bilderbergers. He's a piss ant.
Okay.
But I believe they're for real, and they want to control everything, and there's about 120 people that have that much power. We have a right to know who they are.
Thanks,
PC. They don't
PC.
Have a right to own our souls.
Thanks, brother. I hear you, and good on you getting it out to the media. Thanks, brother. All right, some breaking news here. Rush Limbaugh has been taken to the hospital. The radio talk show host has been vacationing in Hawaii. KITV reported, this coming from AP. He's been taken to the hospital with chest pains. KITV reported that paramedics responded to a call at 2:41 p.m. from the Kahala Hotel and Resort where he is vacationing. The station, citing unnamed sources, said paramedics treated Limbaugh and took him to the Queens Medical Center in serious condition. And allow me to do what Rush Limbaugh wouldn't be decent enough to do, which is to wish Rush Limbaugh the best. We're going to take a quick break here. Come back with more of your calls at 800-277-1637. Underreported, misreported stories of the year, of the decade, of your life. Use the media. Use it or lose it. Brad, in for Mike. Much more straight ahead. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for the good Mike Malloy. Mike and Kathy are having a lovely holiday, I hope, somewhere, is getting a lot of rest. He will be back to rant in your general direction, I suspect, after the new year. It's so you got me until then, sitting in at the bottom of, well, you got me until tonight, actually. Tomorrow and New Year's Eve and on New Year's Day, Mike will be here, sort of, with a best of Mike Malloy. Until then, you got me. Get over it. 800-277-1637. That's 800-277-1637. Extension 703. Talking about the most underreported, misreported stories of the year and or century. Let's go to Nora's been holding for a while in Minneapolis. Hey, welcome to the Mike Malloy program, Nora.
thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being had. How can I help you?
Well, a sadly underreported story this year was Leonard Peltier's bid for parole was denied, and after he's spent 33 years in there on a government fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, I spent the last 5 years writing the story about the guy who did do the killing, who meanwhile kept raping teenage girls here in Minneapolis.
Lovely. Where did you write? Where were you writing about that, Nora?
Well, just here in my home, trying to be secret, because for one thing, the guy was alive until August, and I didn't know whether or not to be more afraid of him or the damn FBI, so I kind of was doing it in secret, because this has been a well-kept secret all this time.
Hey, Nora, can I tell you something? Don't do anything in secret. Tell the truth in public. Don't be frightened of these people.
Well, then I got done with the paper, and I went and brought it to Tom Hartman, and I gave it to Amy Goodman a few weeks ago. And meanwhile, but anyways...
Did they read it? Did they read it on the air?
No, they haven't mentioned it at all.
All right.
But meanwhile, there's the rest of the story. One of the guys who had been found not guilty in a different trial on the same charges and had then moved to Germany, then he tried to confess of it, and then he died, and the Peter Matheson, the guy who wrote the book about the thing, says it's a suspicious death. So both of those two, of the competing stories of who did the actual murder, both died this year in February and August, respectively.
And meantime, Peltier is still in prison.
And Peltier's still locked up. And meanwhile, if you look on the Internet and type in Leonard Peltier, Barack Obama on the Google, it's like 5 million sites. I mean, this needs to be attended to.
Well, thank you for getting the word out on that. I got a lot of other people I want to get to. But
and thanks for the advice. I'm not being secret. I got Internet a month ago, and I can look at it.
All right, good. Then here's the advice I'm going to give you, Nora. Go to blogger.com, start a blog, and
I don't have a computer that you can use to talk with yet. It's somebody's old Mac.
All right, go to the library and do this. Go to start up a blog, blogger.com. Take your paper, put it out there on the Internet so the world can see it. You'll be a lot safer with sunshine, and the world will be a lot better off hearing what you have to say. We need more citizen journalists, truth tellers out there like yourself,
the rest
Nora.
Of the story is now I have to write more telling about this whole other competing story because that's what's been out there.
That's the great thing about
he's
the blog.
He's over the Internet.
You can keep writing.
Bob Rabideau.
Go out there and make some noise. Bless you, and have a happy new year, Nora.
Thank you.
All right. Do we have time? Yeah, let's try to get, here we go, Jane in the Bay Area in California. Welcome to the Molloy program. What's up, Jane?
Oh, yes, hi.
Hi.
I love Mike, and I always love it when he chooses you to sit in for him.
You're very kind. Thank
you. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very relevant for me to talk about sunshine and not keeping it secret. The topic is something that's referred to in various ways on the Internet as vigilante stalking or community policing and so forth. And it's probably a non-reported story except on the Internet. It's an underground kind of new McCarthyism. And I myself have been a victim for 3 years. And I think finally it's there's a pressure to get a congressional investigation. But it's so outrageous that people don't want to believe it, you know. We don't want to believe that this could be happening in America.
Jane,
you know?
I'm coming up against a hard break. Can you give me is there a website you'd refer people to get more information on this?
Just Google gang stalking.
Gang stalking.
Or vigilante stalking.
Thanks a bunch, Jane. Appreciate you getting the word out. Have a happy new year.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to come back with more of your calls. There we go. More of your calls, 800-277-1637, extension 703. And our own Ernest Canning from BradBlog is also going to be joining us right after this.
The eyes of Texas are upon you all the livelong day. The eyes of Texas are upon you. You cannot get away. Do not think you can escape him.
live from Dallas, Texas. Yeah, that's us. And what else are we? Stuck in the middle with you, of course.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
Yes, I do.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
It's not, but we're working on
it. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair.
I'm not scared at all.
And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs.
There's no stairs here. I just walk straight outside. It's awesome.
Me. Joker's to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle.
Stuck in the middle with you for one more night, live from Dallas, Texas, AM 1360, Rational Radio, soon to become rationalbroadcasting.com as they leave the air after tomorrow, leaving the terrestrial airwaves unless an angel calls, stops by, contacts Dave Clifton, the owner, GM, somehow to help keep them on the air, help keep Progressive Radio in Dallas, please. Otherwise, liars like Dick Cheney will be able to get away with anything, which, by the way, he already is. We're taking your calls on the most underreported, misreported stories of the year, of the decade. I know we're going to need about six more hours. By the way, after the Malloy program ends, Sean, we're doing 3 hours just live on the video cast.
Did sounds you know sweet, man. All right. Let's hit it.
We're doing it. You can go to check out that video cast and... as I like to say, see what my big black ass looks like at bradblog.com. Join the chat over there. It's got video and everything else right now. Pretty cool. You guys are doing a great job getting this thing set up. Looks like it's working. 800-277-1637, extension 703. Some breaking news that we just covered. Rush Limbaugh has been rushed to the hospital in Hawaii where he's vacationing. I presume he can afford health care. So we do wish him our best, no matter what we might think of Rush Limbaugh. Let me get to my friend Ernest Canning. He's a contributor at the Brad Blog. Want to touch base with him for a few minutes. We're going to check in with some friends as we go here tonight, as well as take your calls. But I wanted to touch base with Ernest. Hey, Ernie, welcome to the Mike Malloy program.
How you doing, Brad?
I'm doing what you tell me. You've been listening to the show tonight?
You doing pretty good?
I'm doing all right. Okay. Listen, I just wanted to take the opportunity to get you on for just a few quick minutes here to, first off, thank you for everything you've done at the Brad Blog over the past year. You've been a tremendous addition, a great contributor. You've written some really tremendous pieces that I wish more folks could see. Speaking of underreported stories, your series on torture that ended up being, I think, a five-part series that, you know, frankly, is a must-read. I'm going to recommend people go over there and read it. History of CIA Torture, which really reminds us of the lack of accountability that we're still facing, I'm sorry to say, under this Obama administration.
Well, that's true. I had intended to get to another issue, though, if you don't mind.
I don't mind, although but let's go with your issue, and then I'm going to ask you, because I do want to ask about your father and the more... Well, let me just do it real quick, and then we'll let you get to your other issue, which I just want to say that you've got some moral authority when you're talking about torture because of your father. Tell
well,
us
my father was waterboarded by the Japanese during World War II. They got him to sign a false confession that he was a British agent, and he signed it even though he... knew it wasn't true and thought he was signing his own death warrant, but that's the power of torture. You don't necessarily get the truth, but you can definitely get people to do or say anything to make it stop. So.
Yeah, and so I know you've got a personal stake in trying to keep the word about out about what went on, what continues to go on, and what continues to lack in accountability under this administration. So
yeah, and in his case, the people that did it to him, he ended up testifying against the Japanese at war crimes trials in Hong Kong after the war. So, you know, what was a crime then was clearly a crime now, and the same thing that was done to him, waterboarding, was a crime.
Yeah, and folks can go to Brad Blog and search up History of CIA Torture and read that entire landmark series, in my opinion. Thanks for that. Now, you wanted to talk specifically about something real quick?
Yeah, the most underreported story of the decade
yeah.
is the fact that 9/11 was not an act of war. Even assuming the official version of what occurred,
mm-hmm.
We were the victim of a crime carried out by a stateless organization whose very existence was the product of past U.S. policies when we supplied the Mujahideen under the Reagan administration with Stinger missiles to nail the Soviets. This idea of a war on terror is not even a rational response to what occurred. But what it did allow is it allowed what Joan Didion talked about in Fixed Ideas is the insistent use of 9/11 to justify a reconception of America's correct role in the world as one of initiating and waging virtual perpetual war. And Antonia Juhasz mentions in the Bush agenda that basically that envisioned a phantom menace, the shadowy networks of individuals that would be anywhere and everywhere at all times. And as a result, the most recent underreported fact is that our budget, military budget from 2000 to this year has nearly tripled from $289 billion to $636 billion.
Yeah.
And we passed the debt ceiling up to $12.394 trillion.
And add to that, Ernie Canning, the fact that $636 billion, as you said, that's the annual military budget that was signed over the Christmas weekend,
yes.
The same weekend, or just before Christmas weekend, I guess, that very same weekend that they were in the Senate fighting about the $800 billion for 10 years health care plan. We had no problem, no debate virtually at all, other than some idiotic politicizing by the Republicans who tried to deny the money to the troops entirely. And, you know, but other than that, no real debate, signed $636 billion annually, yet we can't pay $800 billion for 10 years of health care to our citizens.
Well, and then on top of that, it's bad enough that that's only a part of it, because we've been draining, if you look at the military budget going back 60 years, it's the very thing that President Eisenhower warned us about, and we don't have money. You can't have guns and butter, so you choose between one or the other, and the military budget is basically a black hole. And
yep.
And once we lose it, no new wealth is created. The other thing that I just wanted to touch on what you were dealing with earlier,
yeah.
if you look at Obama's Nobel Prize acceptance speech, he says, in today's wars, many more civilians are killed than soldiers. The seeds of future conflicts are sown. And that's exactly what's happening. When you go and bomb these other countries, and there was a 2007 NIE that confirmed it, the war on terror actually increases the risk of future attacks. It doesn't decrease it. So if you're going to escalate war as a response to that, which is Obama's latest response, all you're doing is increasing the risk of terrorist attacks. And as you pointed out, the risk of a terrorist attack is a lot less than the risk of getting struck by lightning.
Yeah.
And I don't see us declaring war on lightning.
It's such a backward world that we come to at the end of this decade, if we can consider at the end of the decade, and I do because I want to be done with this decade. But it is such a backward world. Up is down, right is left, white is black. You know, reality is not reality. I mean, it really is this Orwellian world that we're living in and that we're fighting. You know, guys like yourself, Ernest Canning, at bradblog.com, are fighting like hell to straighten out, to tell the truth, to bring some rationality back to. And for that, sir, I thank you. I know you've got a another piece you're working on coming up, which I love the we won't give it away yet, but we'll just give the headline. What's the title you're using for that piece you're working on?
We Must Be Insane.
Perfect. Hey, Ernie, thank you, my friend. Thank you for all you've done at the Brad Blog. You've been a great new addition for us this year, and I suspect you will continue to be in 2010.
Happy New Year, Brad.
Thank you, brother. Have a great one. Ernest Canning, you can check him out at bradblog.com. He does a hell of a good job on all kinds of stuff. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Back with a big segment with all of your calls. 800-277-1637. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Yeah, we're wrapping up the year here on the Mike Malloy program live from Dallas. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike. Glad you can join us. Happy to keep you warm tonight. We are trying to keep the phones open for you because we'd love to hear from you. Your favorite, not favorite, that's not the way to, the most underreported and or misreported stories of the decade and or year. 800-277-1637, extension 703. Going to go to those phones in a second as we wrap up what Steve Bannon has called the decade from hell. But first, this Rolaids Relief of the Week. Yes. And it's due. Actually, I'm going to give you a double dose of the Rolaids Relief of the Week. First this. White House releases name of every visitor for first time ever. This was today. Fulfilling one of the transparency goals of President Obama's administration, the White House today released more than 25,000 records of visitors who came through the gates at 1600 Pennsylvania. The spreadsheet posted at whitehouse.gov offers the visitors' full name, date of visit, who they met with, and in what room. The records covered from September 16 to September 30th, and the monthly visitor logs will be a regular release going forward. There are also records of visitors who met with Vice President Joe Biden and his staff, but the system that collects the names is not yet in place for the Vice President's residence at the Naval Observatory, but White House says it will be. The White House also released an additional set from before the policy went into effect, covering from Obama's inauguration January 20th up until September 16. They are the first administration in history to release the names of people who have visited the White House. Norm Eisen, special counsel to Obama on ethics, detailed the release in a blog post, writing, "The volume is enormous because we are not just answering specific requests for records. We're disclosing thousands of folks who come and go here daily. We will do this on a monthly basis with the records for the full month of October." They are, as Christina Bellantoni at TPMDC writes, the first administration in the history to do so, and the decision was hailed by open government groups. And that is the Rolaids Relief of the Week. Finally, some transparency, some of the transparency that they were promising. Maybe we're getting a little bit of it, but that's not enough. I'm going to give you a double dose. Obama promotes prosecutor who was mistreated by Bush DOJ for his wife's Democratic ties. Also from TPM, a career prosecutor whose promotion to Maine justice was quashed by Monica Goodling during the Bush years has been nominated to be a U.S. attorney in President Obama's latest reversal of a politicized decision of the Bush Justice Department. William Huckle, who has been an assistant U.S. attorney for the Western District of New York for 20 years, was nominated to be the U.S. attorney there last week after recommendation from Chuck Schumer, Senator Chuck Schumer. Huckle was poised to be appointed to a top counterterrorism detail in 2006 when Goodling, the DOJ's White House liaison, a nice way to put it, intervened because Huckle's wife was active in Democratic politics. Yes, that's right. She illegally brought in politics to the hiring procedure at Maine Justice. An internal DOJ investigation of Goodling reported in 08 that notwithstanding the candidate's outstanding qualifications, she refused to allow the candidate to be detailed to the counterterrorism job solely on the basis of his wife's political party affiliation. In a cruel twist, Huckle, who had a high-level interview for the position, was never informed that he didn't get the job. It went instead to a Republican lawyer personally interviewed by Goodling, who had, quote, no counterterrorism experience and had less than the minimum of 5 years of federal criminal prosecution experience required by the job announcement. So, Huckle has now been nominated, finally, named. Has he been named yet? He's been nominated to be the U.S. attorney for the Western District of New York, reversing another Bush nightmare. And that, too, is your double dose, Rolaids Relief of the Week. Got to take it where we can get it. Let's go to, where am I here? Jim in San Francisco. Welcome to the Malloy program, sir.
Hi, is this for Jim?
This is Jim.
Yeah, great. Hi, I've got a theory for your consideration, also for unreported story of the year decade.
Bring it on.
it is that these guys who are in the airplanes and doing the botching of this terrorism bombing they're probably patsies, like the 19 guys that did the World Trade Center and Musawi. And I think some of these, I think maybe, I mean, it's so ridiculous that the guy was under a blanket trying to light a match to blow up some plastique. Why didn't he just go to the bathroom and do it? And if he's smart enough to get plastique, I mean, let's try to get some plastique someday. It's not easy. I'm sure it's impossible.
Well, maybe he had it.
He was smart enough to do that, but he didn't know how to light it.
Yeah.
And another thing, the other guy with a match in his shoe.
Yeah, shoe bomber, Richard Reed.
Right, Richard Reed. And that
who Bush failed to come out and comment on him for 6 days. It's outrageous the way Bush put our country at
why do they bother to go on the airplane? That's the other thing. Why don't they just wrap themselves up with the bomb just like they do in Baghdad?
Well, you know, I hate
to
say
blow people up at the airport.
Well, there you go. I hate to say it because I hate to give out any good ideas here. But
I could have gone a lot further.
You want to scare the hell out of America, just go down to the shopping mall and set off a bomb. You want to cripple this country. Blow up Walmart. I mean, you know, we're done in this country if you can't go to the shopping mall. Anyway, go ahead.
It would be bad for business.
Yep, you bet. And that's.
Well, this way they just scare us with these patsies who might have been hypnotized or maybe they have mental conditions.
Don't be scared.
I'm not. They're trying to scare us, but the fact is these guys are very ineffective, and they want somebody ineffective just to set the fear across, but not really do the damage.
I appreciate the call, Jim. Have a happy New Year, my friend.
That's my theory.
All right, brother.
Thanks.
Good. 800-277-1637, the most underreported, misreported stories of the decade, year, hell, century. Let's go to Glenn in Ontario, Canada. Welcome to the Molloy program, Glenn.
Oh, hi. Thank you very much. I think quite obviously the underreported story is the media, the corporate media, whatever you want to call it, the failure to cover 9/11, and even to failure of covering the 9/11 truth movement, that's a story in itself. But it's quite clear this was an inside job, and we're losing soldiers here in Canada, and we have a lot of widows and fatherless children because of this phony war on terror, and you can see that it's escalating, it's getting worse.
Yep,
this small event on Christmas. It's been nonstop reporting.
Yep.
I can't avoid it. I mean, I follow American politics because I'm fascinated by 9/11.
Well, I was trying to avoid even dealing with it this week, but it's gotten so bad I had no choice but to at least hit it a little bit in the first hour. I appreciate your call, Glenn.
You tried to avoid it. I'm sorry?
No, I tried to avoid even discussing it because I want to ignore these jackasses rather than...
You can't avoid 9/11, the truth of 9/11.
No. You were talking about the bombers.
That's tied in with false flag events. That's all tied in. And 9/11 truth brings peace and the greatest civics lesson in history.
All right. And you can go to 911truth.org
to find millions more. Millions of sites.
I hear you.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Glenn.
Bye-bye.
All right. Happy New Year to you, sir.
And you.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. We're going to get to more of your calls. Another friend is going to be stopping by momentarily after this top-of-the-hour news break. Man, these hours are flying by. So if you do want to get in soon, 800-277-1637, extension 703. Jeannie Dean says the merger of ESNS, she says this over in the bradblog.com chat room, the merger of ESNS and Diebold, the two largest voting machine companies in the world, neither of them can make a voting machine that counts your votes accurately. She says that's one of the greatest underreported stories of the year. I concur, Jeannie Dean. Brad Friedman in for Molloy. Much more right after this. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Program. Brad Friedman in for Mike. I am from bradblog.com, your friendly citizen, investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, and now broadcaster, drafted into duty, be in the media for at least one more hour here on the Mike Malloy Program before I go back into hibernation until I am called out into duty again. Until then, you can find me at bradblog.com. You can follow me on Twitter. As a matter of fact, if anybody wants to Twitter their most underreported, misreported story of the decade to me, you can do so. I am the Bradblog over at Twitter, and I'll do my damnedest to keep an eye on you. Let's see, Owen, I was just saying that because this is our last hour here in Texas, and I got to say, for those who are watching on the video web stream, which you can play along with at bradblog.com, our video web stream and our chat, we are at AM 1360, like the banner says behind my head, the talk you've been missing, rationalradio.org. Well, you think you've been missing it now, just wait until Friday when they go off the air, unless a progressive angel shows up and decides it's important to have progressive talk in Dallas amidst all of the liars and BS that you get on every other terrestrial radio station in this city. These are your public airwaves. I wish progressives and liberals and Democrats would understand that you need to support them, and somebody needs to save Rational Radio down here in Dallas. You can go to rationalradio.org and tell them you'd like to help them out by writing a huge check. The small ones won't do any good, I don't think. But the huge ones, some angel, you can send the small ones to bradblog.com. We'll take those. We need them. At least if we're going to get back to L.A. anytime soon, just for the gas money. Hey, 800-277-1637, extension 703. I'm in a moment going to go to our friend Joyce McCloy. We're checking in with friends as we go throughout the night here. Going to check in with Joyce McCloy in a second, but let me get to Bob because he's got a related thought here. Bob in Maryland, the most underreported story of the most underreported story of the decade. What do you got, Bob? Welcome to the Malloy Show.
Sir Bob?
That's Bob in Maryland. Yes, sir.
Yes. You're probably hard-pressed to find a properly reported story, but the 2004 presidential election, the outright theft of that, I don't think that there wasn't any coverage.
There was almost no coverage at all. You're absolutely right. As you may or may not know, Bob, that is my big beat, one of my big beats over at bradblog.com. Yeah, I found myself, as a matter of fact, I probably wouldn't be here today were it not for that unbelievable election in 2004, because that's when folks started to notice the Brad blog, when nobody else would report this story. Nobody would investigate this story. Other than, you know, me and a handful of folks, Bev Harris at Black Box Voting, Bob Petrakis at the Columbus Free Press, we were trying to get these stories out. While New York Times was telling us this was nonsense and conspiracy theory, they wouldn't even get their ass out there to Ohio to investigate. Richard Hayes Phillips wrote a book called Witness to a Crime, in which he bothered to go through all of these ballots, at least the ones that were still existing in Ohio, finding things like stickers placed over John Kerry's voted ballot, and George Bush filled in instead. Thank you, sir. That was close to my top underreported story of the decade. I'll try to get to that in a bit. Appreciate it, Bob.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, by the way, Bob, they're supposed to have paper ballots out there in Maryland. Don't let them get away without getting you those paper ballots, okay?
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
Thank you, brother. I want to bring on Joyce McCloy from, let's see what she calls. Hey, Joyce, welcome to the Malloy Program.
Well, hey, thanks for having me on. How are you doing, Brad? Everybody?
I'm doing okay, and I'm glad you can join me here. I was going to say, is it called NC Voter? Is that what we call it?
I have NC Coalition for Verified Voting, NC Voter, but I have a daily newsletter, national voting newsletter at votingnews.blogspot.com.
Okay, that's why I wanted to bring you on most directly, because we lost a good friend this year, our friend John Gideon, who had been really Boy, just, you know, my eyes and ears in many ways in the election world with his daily voting news. He kept an eye on Brad blog when I took a few hours off. Now I got nobody to do that, so I miss John greatly. But he put out every day something called the Daily Voting News. And when we lost him earlier this year, the election integrity movement lost a lot of the central glue that it once had because of this Daily Voting News. And you, Joyce McCloy, stepped up to fill that gap, and I can't thank you enough for doing that with your voting news. I look forward to finding some a moment or two to do the programming that I need to do over Bradblog, so you can start running that over at bradblog.com the way John ran his daily voting news. But you've done a terrific job with that, and it's at votingnews.blogspot.com. People can sign up for it. They can sign up for your news over there, correct?
Yeah, just come on over. If you can't find it, just type in on Google voting news and then blog, and mine will pull up the top of the search engine. Click on that link, and on the right you'll see how to sign up to get the news each day, about 5 days a week usually.
And there's a lot of news. It's usually local, you know, papers that report these things. You never hear about this stuff nationally, but there's been a lot of news and some very interesting issues going on, other than the one that we mentioned before the break, that Jeannie Dean mentioned in the Brad Blog chat room about ESNS and Diebold, the two largest voting machine companies, now combining in their demon merger to control 80%, 70 to 80% of the votes in America by a single company, ESNS. It's outrageous. They're looking into it. The DOJ and 14 states are looking into it, into antitrust and trying to keep this merger from happening. But what are you seeing as far as the trends? Are we getting rid of these damn electronic voting systems? Are we getting anywhere, Joyce?
Oh, yeah. Well, definitely the trend is the vendors aren't spending any money on making the paperless machines because nobody wants them. They're all banning them. State after state after state is ditching them or banning them. Used to be only a dozen states required paper ballots. Now 32 states require paper ballots, and there's more that have them. But while we're still involved in this battle, where we are still focusing on voting machines, the unreported story is that we're going to be blindsided with Internet voting, which is the least verifiable, least transparent, least secure possible method to cast a vote, and you
and
lose
can I
the
add
ballot.
The most insane in the whole wide world. I mean, if you think, and you mentioned the paperless voting, never mind paperless voting. Even the touchscreens that have the little paper trails are equally worthless, are equally as unverifiable. Thankfully, by the way, since I'm down here in Dallas, a federal court this week has decertified them in this state, at least in this county. Dallas County, at least for now. But those touchscreens got to go with or without a paper trail. The optical scans aren't much better, but at least you got a paper ballot. But now these jackasses who have screwed up our elections, and this is one of my top underreported stories of the decade, is the this scourge, this virus of e-voting. Now these jackasses who foisted that on us are moving to Internet voting, Joyce.
Well, yeah, just imagine your vote might be transmitted over Cox Cable or Time Warner or AOL.com. You don't know who's going to be carrying that ballot.
And what could possibly go wrong with that? Right?
Well, actually, there was an election in Finland, and they lost 2% of the ballots irretrievably, so the election was overturned. I mean, we don't. And then Honolulu
2%.
Held an Internet election, Honolulu, Hawaii.
Yep.
And their turnout, they claim, was 7%. We don't really know that. How do we really know how many people voted? It was an Internet election held by a private company that makes money off of this.
Right. And not only is that private company, who let me give them some bad publicity here. Their name is Vote. Every Vote Counts. Ironically.
Everyone Counts, yeah.
Isn't Everyone Counts? Every Vote Counts. I don't know. Whatever it is, crappy company. They will not be a sponsor of the Mike Malloy program, I'm guessing. But Paul G. Gregorio, who was the head of the U.S. Elections Assistance Commission, Okay, the federal body that was supposed to oversee electronic voting, certify these machines, make sure they were safe for use, they didn't do any of that. They certified them all. None of them were safe for use. None of them were accurate. Every single scientific study has found that. This jackass who was chair of the USEAC, he walks out the door and he walks straight to everyonecounts.com. Puts up a video on there saying, hey, I'm the head of the USEAC. Now I'm in charge of everyonevotes.com. You know, invest in our company. This revolving door, this dude is set to make millions off of his job under the Bush administration as the head of the USEAC, running a voting machine company that is even less transparent than the machines made by Diebold, ES&S, and all the rest.
Well, I lost a lot of sleep on it when I found out that a federal agency had to send out an agenda to all 50 states' election officials urging them to adopt a pilot to have our troops vote over the Internet.
Yep.
I've lost a lot of sleep. This is a hair-on-fire issue, and even, I even have activists who don't quite understand yet how insecure and dangerous this is. And especially when you have a federal agency saying recommending that states do it,
right? Yeah, and these are people who don't believe in science, because if you listen to the scientists, the computer scientists tell you don't do it. Are you crazy?
Yeah.
But they're not. You know, David Jefferson of Livermore Labs has said he's furious about this. He's trying to say this is not secure. But if you're against internet voting. Much like if you were against touchscreen voting, Joyce, you remember it was because you hated blind people.
And now we hate the troops if we don't want them to cast a non-secret ballot.
Exactly.
That gets transmitted over the Internet.
Yeah, and they're using our troops as guinea pigs. And if you're against internet voting, it's because you hate the troops. What a scam. You're going to be keeping an eye on that scam, and I know the IRV, what do we call it? Instant runoff.
Instant runoff voting,
yeah.
And I think you called it a virus, and honestly, it seems like places that try it end up ditching it. San Francisco's used it for 4 years, and a grand jury said that voters and poll workers still don't understand it.
We can't add 1 + 1 + 1 with our elections. Now they want to add all this complicated algebra that comes in with internet voting. And beware, a lot of Democrats, the Green Party, who I love, is in favor of this IRV, and I think they're dead wrong on this. As much as I love them, beware IRV, beware internet voting. Joyce McCloy, God bless you. Thank you for all you're doing to fight to protect our elections when nobody else is paying attention. Go to votingnews.blogspot.com. Sign up for her daily must-read newsletter. Happy New Year to you, Joyce.
Well, and thanks for all you put over there at bradblog.com, Brad. Thanks a lot for having us on.
God bless you. Have a great one, my friend.
You too.
All right, we're going to be back with your calls, 800-277-1637. The most underreported, misreported stories of the year. It's your chance, people. Now's your time. Use the be the media. You know, progressive radio is going away in a lot of places. So now's your chance to use it. Let's see. Also, you can Twitter us your most underreported story at the Brad Blog. Brad, in from Malloy. Stick with us.
Think you could tell.
Well, I've been down so goddamn long that it looks like up to me. Well, I've been down so
welcome back to the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Here's what happens in the end of the year. We're talking about taking your calls, 800-277-1637, underreported, misreported stories. Here's what happened when you have a decade of underreported, misreported stories. We went out to the Tea Party Express kickoff day in Los Angeles and interviewed these guys on video, made a film called Rise of the Teabags. Here is a short clip.
Barack Hussein Obama, do America a favor and resign.
Right now.
Why should he resign?
Why shouldn't he? This guy's a socialist. He wants to take our freedom, take away our liberty.
But tell us all the freedoms that Barack Obama has taken away. Listen to this.
Go ahead, tell him.
Okay, wait a minute. I got to
know. All of these are the freedoms that Barack Obama has taken away and should resign. And here now, some of those freedoms. Give it to him.
For one thing, he wants to take away our freedom of speech.
He does?
Absolutely. Instead of fighting in Afghanistan, he's over here fighting against FNC, Fox News Channel. So
how does he want to take away their freedom of speech? Go ahead, tell him how he's taking away their freedom of speech.
By turning them off. By just saying, you know what? We can't have free speech. We're going to turn you off. If it's not my way, it's a highway. But
Barack Obama has turned off Fox News?
No. But if he could, he would.
He's not taking away freedom of speech.
Well, he sure would love to. He would sure love to take away the freedom of speech.
Okay, so he hasn't taken away freedom of speech.
He has not. But
tell us all the freedoms that Barack Hussein Obama has taken away. Get a load of this. Go ahead, tell him all the freedoms.
Well, for one thing, he's taken over the car industry. If it was up to him, we'd be driving this little.
He's taken away the freedom for GM to declare to go out of business.
Right,
is what he's done.
Right.
He's taken away the freedom for those workers to lose their job, basically, right?
That's right. And he's taken away the people, you know, that want to make a lot of money. It's like they want to tax the devil out of them, you know.
But he's lowered actually 85% of Americans' taxes, right?
Oh yeah, right. Sure he has.
But he has, hasn't he?
I don't think so. Absolutely not. No.
If you made less than $250,000, he's lowered your taxes.
Yeah, right. That's what he says, but he's a liar.
But that's what he did do, though, didn't he?
No.
I mean, because I want to get a list. I want to get a list of all the freedoms that he's taken away. So, the freedom of speech he hasn't done, and the tax thing, I don't think yet, right?
All right.
But what are the freedoms? Here's a list of the freedoms that Barack Hussein Obama has taken away.
If this man could take away all of our freedoms, I think he would take away a freedom to do anything and everything.
Thank you very much for your time and for speaking up.
Well, there you go. That's what happens after a decade of misinformation. Barack Obama is taking your freedoms away. We just don't know what the hell they are. But, man, we're angry about something. You can see the full Rise of the Teabags over at Brad Blog or YouTube. Just go on over there, search for Rise of the Teabags. Get the whole film. All right, still more ahead. Here on the Mike Malloy Show, Brad Friedman in for Mike. Stay with us.
Oh, the yellow rose of Texas is the only gal I love. Her eyes are even bluer than Texas skies above. Her heart's as big as Texas, and wherever I may go, I'll remember her forever because I love her so. There are so many.
Yes, I do love her so. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com sitting in for Mike Malloy as we're wrapping up the year and the decade here on the Mike Malloy program. Live from Dallas, Texas tonight, AM 1360 Rational Radio, where we are celebrating and mourning the end of Progressive Radio in Dallas. They are going off the terrestrial air. They'll be moving to the internet over to rationalbroadcasting.com, and maybe to TV, because believe it or not, it's cheaper to get a TV license these days than to get a radio license, apparently. But I'd like them on the air. I'd like them in everybody's car on the way home, on the way to and from work, so they don't have to listen to liars and fools and America haters like Dick Cheney, Karl Rove, Fox News, and friends. So if you can help them out, please stop by rationalradio.org if you're an angel. Let's see. Over what other business do I have to take care of? So we're talking about underreported stories of the decade, underreported stories of the year, misreported stories of the decade and the year. As we wrap up here, I haven't really given too many of my own, but I'd love to hear yours. 800-277-1637. It's your last chance to get in. Extension 703. 800-277-1637. extension 703, or you can Twitter me at TheBradBlog. A couple of my most underreported stories, as far as I'm concerned. Story of Sybelle Edmonds. Don't have time to go into it in full, but you can go over to Brad Blog, search for Sybelle Edmonds. But in short, if it's possible with her story, she was hired as a translator after by the FBI after 2001. She saw some stuff she was not comfortable with, like colleagues who were actually working for the working with the various groups that were being targeted in these wiretaps that she was listening to in the counterintelligence department. And by the end, what she had to say was an extraordinary story, so extraordinary that the Bush administration had to twice invoke the state secrets privilege to shut her up. And finally, this summer in August, she was deposed in a unrelated court case and was able to begin finally telling that story because Barack Obama did not invoke the state secrets privilege on her. What we learned in that story was that congressmen from Republicans and Democrats, mostly in this case actually Republicans, Denny Hastert, Dan Burton, Roy Blunt, in Missouri, who's running for Congress. No, he's running. He may be running for Senate, if I have that right. He's currently in Congress. We're taking bribes to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars from foreign powers, enemies and allies alike, Turkey, Israel. And what was happening was nuclear weapons and nuclear secrets were being shipped out from our country, from our most secure bases, to Turkey, to Israel, sold then to North Korea, sold to Lebanon, sold to Iran, Pakistan. That's how they got the bomb. She's told all. We have the deposition at Brad Blog. We have, I think it's 4 hours of videotape of her in this deposition. Her colleagues at the FBI have backed her up. Folks like Colleen Raleigh, who was the FBI 9/11 whistleblower, Time Magazine's Person of the Year in 2001. Ray McGovern, who used to give presidential daily briefs to Ronald Reagan, to George Bush Sr., has backed her up. And yet no one in the media thinks this is a story worth reporting. It's unbelievable. It's incredible. But the most incredible story, a part of it, is the fact that the media doesn't report it. It's underreported. We've talked about it on the Mike Malloy program. I talk about it at Brad Blog. Where the hell is the rest of the world on this? I don't know. I don't get it. I'm out there making noise, but I'm just one voice singing in the darkness. One other story before I bring on you, young lady. Get ready. You're almost up. You're almost. It's all right. You got a second. Yeah, you got a second. But not many. The biggest underreported story of the decade, in my opinion, has to be the election of 2000. And one single point in that story, the fact that George Bush received fewer votes than Al Gore in the state of Florida. There's no question about it. They looked at the ballots. They counted them all. The irony here is that had they counted them the way Al Gore wanted in just a few counties, George Bush would have won. Had they counted them the way George Bush wanted, the entire state, Al Gore would have won by any conceivable counting standard. Hanging chads, dimpled chads, pregnant chads, all of that nonsense. However you wanted to count it, if you had counted all of the votes in the state of Florida, and mind you, this is after thousands had been illegally knocked off the rolls, wrongly kept from voting. This is after the butterfly ballot nonsense in Palm Beach County. Even after all of that, Al Gore received more votes than George Bush in the state of Florida, which means he should have won the presidency had it not been given to the Supreme Court, and had it not been given to him by the Supreme Court, I suggest we would not be facing all of the very nightmares we are facing. Here to join me to speak about one of those nightmares now, and Tony, you can go ahead and hit the music as I, she's screening calls, but she's my co-host on the Green News Report, heard on many fine progressive radio stations. If it's not heard on your station, I'd call and complain. It's only 6 minutes, for crying out loud. Desi Doyen is my co-host on that Green News Report. And she's, yeah, get in here, run. She's my co-host. She is the producer of this program tonight. and she joins us for a year-end wrap-up. Hey, Des.
Hey, I was just on the phone.
I know. You. Oh, and she's also the screener for tonight's calls. So before I get your roundup, your wrap-up of the year-end, decade-end news stories, what does your shirt say?
My shirt.
For those people watching on the video camera, videocast at bradblog.com.
My shirt is a photo of Indians. Like, I think it's
See, now you're going to get in trouble.
I am. I can say that,
You can. We'll tell everybody why in a second.
The T-shirt says, Homeland Security, Fighting Terrorism Since 1492.
And pictures of four?
And four, I believe it's Geronimo. It's a famous picture of Geronimo. I think that that's who it is. Actually, I can't read it upside down very well. But
And I think those Indians, as you called them, had about as much success with the Homeland Security.
As we're having right now?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Now, you have the moral authority to call them Indians. You're going to be in trouble.
I don't think so, no.
Why do you have the moral authority to use that sort of...
Well, I can't really say the moral
slander.
Authority, but I can say that I am descended from Cherokee and that we have that delineation all through our genealogy. We can prove it. And
how?
Oh... That's a bad one.
No, I mean, how can you prove it?
Oh, well, if
no,
you...
Okay. No, let's just move on.
Yes, I know, we're taking
because I was
big
talking
digression.
About the, yeah, I know, big digression. I was talking about the top stories of the decade, and we're working on tomorrow's
yes.
Green News Report, and we're going to cover the top green news stories of the decade and
yes.
of the year.
That is tomorrow.
And I sort of referred to George W. Bush.
That's quite all right. He is pretty much the big headline for... The biggest news story of the environmental group, I guess, the environmental heading of the decade, because with his election so, well, I should say his elevation to the presidency so much.
His appointment.
That came from his administration. That's pretty much what the entire, what all of our stories are about tomorrow in the Green News Report.
And just the disaster that we have after his presidency versus?
The Obama administration coming in now, you know, they have a mixed record, but undeniably they are doing a great job as far as moving forward and unpacking and undoing the very, very slow process of undoing these regulations, these changes that were made during the Bush administration. You know, everything from selling off public lands near national parks for drilling for oil and gas to, you know, relaxing clean air, clean water. Regulations, enforcement, FDA enforcement, USDA enforcement, all of these different agencies that, you know, as we say in tomorrow's report, that these agencies, you know, 10 years ago, back in 1999, 2000, were actually doing pretty good as far as moving forward on environmental progress and protecting Americans' air, water, public health, their public lands, everything, and that's been slowly dismantled, and now we're slowly reversing.
And not so slowly dismantled. I mean, it was just taken apart during the past 8 years. The fact, you know,
yeah, and they had 8 years to do it. And of course, you know, the biggest part of that was the obfuscation and outright denial and attempts to put fear, uncertainty, and doubt, FUD, on climate science. On climate science, that yeah. those 8 years of inaction have cost us dearly, and it will cost us that much more now to. Mitigate and adapt to climate change, it's going to be costing that much more in money, actual money.
Yeah. And, you know, and as much as I've been critical of Obama, and I think we need to continue to be critical, we need to hold his feet to the fire on this point, on the EPA at the very least. We've seen a huge difference, and the EPA does not, you know, these EPA issues do not usually make the Fox News. Karl Rove and Dick Cheney don't come out and comment and lie about them. But what's going on there, the differences they're making, the putting the stop to or trying to begin to regulate mountaintop removal, coal ash.
You know, again, it's also it's a mixed record on that, but it's the difference between the
yes.
Bush administration eliminating the 100-foot stream buffer rule that says with mountaintop removal mining, you can't just dump all that debris into a stream. I mean, Reagan passed that rule. Reagan said, no, you can't just dump all that debris into the water. You have to, you know, if you can't do it this way without saving the stream, then you can't do it. Bush administration relaxed that, and now the Obama administration is slowly undoing that. And they're not all the way there. They've still approved some of those mountaintop removal permits, but others they have halted.
And they're opening their email from the EPA.
Yes, the endangerment finding, that's a huge thing. The endangerment
yeah.
finding this year, this fall, you know, in 2007, Supreme Court ruled that the EPA was going to have to decide if greenhouse gas emissions and pollution were a danger to public health. Of course, the Bush administration EPA actually did that. And they came up with that finding, and then they emailed it to the White House, and the White House refused to open the email.
Wouldn't open it.
Didn't even happen, as if it never happened.
Because they knew what was in it, and they said, well, we didn't see it. We have plausible deniability. We've never seen it. That's what these guys were doing.
And, of course, now, just to finish that part up, yeah. The Obama administration EPA then, of course, had to go through the whole process again. This fall, they came out with their endangerment finding, as ordered by the Supreme Court. So they now have the regulatory authority to regulate tailpipe emissions, which they didn't really say before, have before. And even if Congress does not act on climate and clean energy legislation in 2010, the EPA can operate through the courts, through the court system, to regulate, enforce, and establish, you know, new standards for these things. This is very important stuff, very big, which means that even if the Senate does try to stall, like they've done with health care reform, health care insurance reform, if they try to stall climate legislation, there are still things that we can do to save our environment in the United States.
And we're going to have to keep fighting because there's not going to do enough. Democrats are not going to do enough, but we're going to hold their feet to the fire as well. Desi, thank you for a great year of the Green News Report. We'll continue in, we've got another one tomorrow. We'll continue in 2010.
All this stuff we didn't get to,
you know, go to greennews.bradblog.com. Greennews.bradblog.com. You can hear Desi and I talking for 6 minutes about things that actually matter.
Pages
I got to get to
and pages.
You're in front of my clock, Desi. All right, take you and your engines out of here. We got to get to a break. It's our final segment coming up. 800-277-1637. Your last chance to get in before the end of the year. Extension 703. 800-277-1633. Brad in for Mike. One voice in the darkness. Back for more.
I saw the photograph. He blew his mind out in a car.
Just one voice singing in the darkness. All it takes is one voice singing so they hear what's on your mind. And when you look around, you'll find there's more than one voice singing in the darkness.
This is for AM 1360 in Dallas, Texas. As a tear runs down Sean's eye and mine. Yeah, I know it's Barry Manilow to end the year, but it's been a crappy year, so that's what you get. One voice, singing in the darkness. You can keep it playing there, Tone. I want to thank engineer Tony Sorrentino, speaking of you, Tony, out at LA's K-Talk AM 1150. Do you want to say Happy New Year on air to everybody, Tony?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Sure, Happy New Year.
There you go. We got to hear Tony Sorrentino.
There we go.
Very lively. My thanks to Rational Radio here that becomes rationalbroadcasting.com soon enough, too soon, frankly. But they're going off the air unless an angel shows up. My thanks to you guys for hosting me this week. Sean Compton for engineering tonight. Dave Clifton for engineering last night and for owning and fighting like hell for this station. Thanks both to you guys. Producer Desi Doyen, you just saw her. If you were watching the webcast, ain't she lovely? Thank you, Des. Thanks, Agent99 in the bradblog.com chat room. And, of course, my thanks to Mike and Kathy Malloy for entrusting these 3 hours to me. You must be crazy. For those listening on the MikeMalloy.com web stream, stay tuned after the show for Head On with Bob Kincaid. He's aces, too, and he's great on the mountaintop removal stuff. I'm going to fly through these calls and try to clear the board if I can. So, callers, be quick with your underreported, misreported stories of the year of the century. Doug, you're up in San Diego. Go for it.
Brad.
Hey, Doug.
Hey, thanks for the great show. Happy New Year.
And to you, sir.
I noticed you're 1360 AM Rational Radio. We were 1360 call letter in San Diego that was canceled for a sports station.
KLSD, another progressive radio station that went away thanks to Clear Channel in that case.
That's an unlucky 1360, I guess.
Yep.
My story of the decade is I consider it to be depleted uranium. I think it has a half-life of something like 6 billion years or something. And I know of what I've read, you know, it's used, of course, in Iraq extensively. And what I understand is parts of particles of depleted uranium actually have, there is some plutonium in it as well. So we've got to sit around with that stuff in our atmosphere for the next six billion years. Of course, we won't be here that long.
We're geniuses. I got to move on because I want to try to get everybody in. But search for depleted uranium on the interwebs and learn more about that. Thanks for speaking out, Doug. Have a happy New Year, sir.
You too.
Thank you. All right, let's go to Lorraine in Albuquerque. Lorraine, you got about 30 seconds at best.
Okay, well, the one underreported story that I'd like to emphasize is the foreclosure problem. You know, at the beginning, we heard that adjustable rate mortgages were what the problem was, and that people had gone with mortgages that were escalating. Well, that's not true for millions of people across this country. In the month of September, there was over 987,000 foreclosures across the United States, which means there's millions of Americans that are now homeless.
Yep.
And the banks working with people, they are not really working with people. If you have a job, they can work to take part of your pay, but if you have lost your job or if you have no job, there is no real remedy for you.
Well done, Lorraine. I got to run. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Thank you
and
for getting it out there.
This is a subject that's not happening.
You're absolutely right. Happy New Year, Lorraine. All
Happy
right.
New Year to you.
I'm heading to Albuquerque. I'll see you in a couple of days.
Great.
All right. Bye. All right. Let me get to very quickly. Henry, you've got, about 20 seconds in the Bay Area. Welcome to the Molloy Show. What's the underreported story? Quick.
Privatization of education. The University of Phoenix is a scam. It's ripping off taxpayers and students. You really need to not visit my article I wrote on this. It's at dailycensored.com. You should read about it. Don't participate in this scam. And also, my brother about depleted uranium is absolutely right. Depleted
well done.
Uranium.
Well
it's
done.
Also a heavy metal.
Well done, sir. Dailycensored.com. I'm not going to be welcome to Albuquerque or Phoenix. I'm heading to both of them straight from here out of Dallas. We'll look for you all out there. We'll look for you over at bradblog.com if you're wondering where I am until they next pull me back into duty on the air here on the Mike Molloy Show or anybody else's show who will have me. Give me a microphone. I'll start talking into it. Check me out at bradblog.com. Follow us on the Twitter at thebradblog.com. It has been my pleasure to serve, and I want to wish all of you a happy, healthy, and safe new year. Keep it lit, America. Good night.